Well, now it's time to welcome back Brian Hughes from Sheffield-based solicitors Rayner Hughes. And this time, Brian, you've chosen to talk about wills, the importance of making a will, and what might happen if you don't. But this is something you touched on last year in reference to the incident concerning the problem experienced by the noted Brooks family, one-time owners of Bursted Lodge, is it not? So yeah. I don't know whether you're going to refer back to that or whether you just want to start with the basics, but I certainly think that we do need to start with the question, why do many people not make a will when they really should?
Well, Scott, from my long experience, there are a number of reasons. The first is that people don't like to contemplate their own death. The second is they think they have nothing worth leaving. And the third is that the family will know what to do with their possessions when they die. I'm likely to live into old age, so why should I make a will now? I often hear people say. But what if they don't, or lose their marbles and succumb to Alzheimer's or dementia? It's better to make a will while you have the mental capacity to do so and avoid the risk of dying without one as a result of an accident or mental illness. Having the government or a court decide what should happen to your possessions could result in big delays in distributing them and lead to relatives that you didn't intend to benefit from your estate sharing in it. Many people think they have nothing worth leaving, but even where married couples own property jointly, there are invariably bank accounts to close and administrative matters like sorting out the pension or the tax of a deceased person to deal with. Who, for example, will be able to close your online accounts if they don't have a grant of probate? You'll have to entrust somebody with your passwords. Somebody you can trust.
That's assuming you can remember them yourself, because I don't know, and I know all mine.
Well, that's right. It's difficult enough remembering it. Yeah, yourself. Others opt out of making any sort of provision for their families because they don't want to pay the cost of having a will prepared and believe that families will carry out their wishes anyway. That is a very dangerous assumption, as I know from my own experience. In fact, I had to say that a death in the family often brings out the worst in people, with them all squabbling over their perceived entitlements. And from this point of view, it's just common sense to leave clear and firm instructions about who gets what. A lot of people jib at the cost of making a will, but in terms of family harmony alone, after your death, a will is worthwhile.
Now, okay, Brian, let's be brutal about this. We're all going to die, and if it happens when you're will-less, on top of the grief, it can cause a financial nightmare for the people you care about.
That's right, Scott. We all have to die, and we all have to accept that it will be earlier or later. Better, therefore, to make a will that reflects your wishes and have one or two sensible people you trust to carry them out when the death occurs.
Okay, so thinking, talking and planning for a death doesn't obviously make it happen, but as in all things, prevention is clearly better than cure.
Well, that's right. I've made several wills in my own lifetime, reflecting my position as a husband and now as a widower, and everyone should bear in mind the fact that a will is not necessarily a one-off document if your circumstances change and are not reflected in your current will.
So what do we do?
Well, we work out what we possess, who we want to leave our possessions to. They're called beneficiaries. We then have to consider who's going to carry out our wishes. The people who carry out our wishes are called executors, and there's no reason why they shouldn't also be your beneficiaries, for example, your wife or children. You should not choose executors who are older than yourself, other than your wife, for obvious reasons. All these points have to be included in your will.
Now, we've just talked earlier outside about this because the government has just bowled a real fastball with topspin on executors, because originally the executor had to pay a nominal sum in order to start the proceedings. But that figure's walloped up, isn't it?
I think the government have been very mean here. They've whacked up the cost of applying for a grant of probate enormously, and I produced to you earlier on a scale which shows that you know, on half a million, I think it's...
It's something like
£4,000.
Yes, yes. And it's very easy to have half a million with the house prices as they are.
Yeah, it is. Between 500,000 and a million, it's £4,000, yeah. Which is wicked. What solicitors are hoping to be able to do is to lend executors the money and then include a charge for the loan in their bill, but they can't charge interest because that would be against the financial service rules. So we've got to be very careful. But a lot of solicitors are actively thinking about this at the moment and thinking how we can help executors pay this
enormous
fee.
Yeah, I mean, the only other alternative is whether you can get it out of the estate ahead of the proceedings.
Well, the problem there is that most banks, for example, they'll only come up with the inheritance tax that's payable on the estate. They won't come up with anything else. They know they're going to get their money back because the money's in their account.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's going to be a problem always round. And
if you are an executor and you're not a beneficiary, what's to prevent the executors sort of washing their hands of it and saying, well,
yes, that's right,
I'm not going to do anything, I'm not paying this.
That's right. That's why you've got to go to a solicitor and ask whether the solicitors can help you with that.
Yeah. Okay, but that was just an aside. But yeah. Anyway, so who's going to prepare your will? After all, you could just use a kit that we can buy over the counter at a large stationer, can you not?
If your circumstances are very simple, it's an option. But homemade wills are a fertile source of work for solicitors because the people who make them invariably make a mistake. And you'll not have had any advice, nor will you benefit from the protection you would have had if it had been produced professionally.
Now, of course, one of the mistakes that they could have made was something that you brought up over the question of the people we talked about in the first programme, because of this wording that you've got to put something between husband and wife that they've got to die with after a certain period or whatever.
Well, that's right. You need professional advice on a will, even more so now with the increased probate fees, and also there are other considerations like lifetime gifts made within 7 years of death have to be incorporated in an estate.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It's on a sliding scale.
Yes.
But, you know, potentially exempt transactions like gifts, they're only potentially exempt, and they're not necessarily exempt if they're made shortly before death, for example.
Mm. Now, we've talked about executors, and we've just talked about this government fastball with topspin on this. So wouldn't it be sensible to have a solicitor who prepared the will act as your executor?
No, it wouldn't. Use a solicitor to do all the hard work of winding up the estate, but don't have them as executors unless you want to set up trusts within the will for people who suffer from permanent impairment.
Would that be a different solicitor from the one that prepared the will, or does it kind of
I'll come on to that. Yeah. I say this because as executors, solicitors and banks and will writers who take on the task of winding up your estate are under no obligation to disclose what they're doing to the beneficiaries of your estate. And this can be very frustrating for beneficiaries, particularly where banks are concerned. They are very difficult to communicate with and find out what they're doing.
All right. So what are the costs involved in making a will?
They can range from £150 for a joint will to quite a lot. But many solicitors who specialise in wills have an arrangement with charities and will prepare a will for you for nothing if you make a donation to the charity. That's called will aid, and I believe certain trade unions also have low-cost will-making facilities.
And in fact, when you yourselves have done this, you've been able to get quite a tidy sum which you handed over to charity last year. No, was it last year?
That was 2015.
Before, 2015. I lose track of which year we're in.
Yeah, we haven't received the certificate for this year.
Just over £9,000, which
that's
is
right.
A very good sum.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so, I mean, we don't make it out of it, but the charities do.
So, if I was to choose a solicitor, who should I go to? I know you're going to turn around and say, well, you should come to us.
No, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say, don't go to a conveyancer. You go to a solicitor who spends all his time preparing wills, advising on how best to structure your will, and dealing with the estates of his or her clients. you'll get decent advice from him or her, and his or her firm will carry professional negligence, should they, God forbid, make a mistake.
I'm sure they wouldn't make a mistake.
Well, you never know. Yeah. If you like the way in which they've advised you, you can then ask them to insert a clause in your will nominating them to carry out the probate of your will. But that is, frankly, as far as I would normally advise people to go. So in answer to your previous question, if they do a good job on your will, there's no reason why you shouldn't have them wind up your estate. But don't put them in as executors.
Right. OK. Thank you very much indeed. Wise advice, as always. Thanks very much. And we hope that we're going to see you again before too long.